Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And Renee, how has the week after Labor Day been? Because for me, it was a whole lot packed into a little week. It was basically like the equivalent of a week packed into 4 days. Was it the same for you at school, or how's your week been?
You know what? We are in week three of school. I just wrapped up on week three, so I'm getting more into my groove. So for me, it was solid. I was tired, I will say that, but I'm in a groove. A lot of the stuff that I'm involved with has picked up steam, so I'm investing a lot of my energy and time into all of that. So it actually felt like a really solid 4 days or week now, I guess, 5 days, because for 6 days. I think that weekend of hiking kind of gave me it refreshed everything for me. And so it just gave me energy to, like, you know, because I didn't do anything for those 3 days. Like, I just hiked. And so I think it gave me a good break from just even thinking about school or my responsibilities. And when I came back to them, I was like ready to tackle them all, you know? So Mother Nature for the win on my end. So, you know, it wasn't as hectic. It was busy, but it was rewardingly good busy, I think.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So my week, I feel like Groundhog's Day, because I am once again coming at you from in the closet because they weren't able to finish the repairs on my apartment in time. So I was in there one more week, but hopefully within the next couple of days, I can go back into my place and won't have to live between two cities. It's not really between two cities, but like living between two places is not fun because I'll forget half of my outfit in one apartment. And then, so I'll have to go and get the other, or I'll forget a charger in one and my phone will be dying. I have to run back to the other. So I think I should look at the steps if I have time after the break, or if I remember, I'll look and see what my steps were. But I basically have walked 14 blocks and 6 avenues. That's been there and back at least once a day for the last 2 weeks, because my friend's apartment is about like 7 blocks and 2 avenues away from me. So that's a good 10-15 minute power walk both way, or one way. So it's like a good 20-minute, 30-minute power walk round trip. So hopefully I've gotten some, lost a little bit of my post-COVID. Well, no, we're still in COVID, but my post return to New York regain of what I gained in COVID. So now I'm like in that fluctuation where I gained, because I wasn't part of that workout program, I gained that weight back, but not the inches. So that's good. So I can still fit into stuff, but I'm still, I'm still whatever. But anyways, moving on from my first world problems, which really aren't problems when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, I just wanted to give credit where credit is due. I heard back from the listener whose email we shared last week about the word of wisdom, and they said it was perfectly fine to share their name. So Colin, thank you again for your words of wisdom on the words of wisdom. And we love you for listening. You're one of our most active listeners. I think I've gotten a few emails from you because he always is the one to tell us when, like, there's a glitch in the playback, or the site goes down, or stuff like that. So thank you, Colin, for your support, and then also your words of wisdom from last time. So thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I was able to give him credit. Completely different tangent, because I just remembered something that I wanted to share last week, because I needed something that absolutely took no brain cells to watch, where I could just tune out because there was so much going on that I just needed a numbing effect. But have you seen the new Cinderella on Amazon Prime yet? The one with Camila Cabello and James Gordon and then Billy Porter. You haven't seen that? Have you seen ads for it?
Is that the one where they're in the car and she's dressed in the huge dress? Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, that's what they did as a promotional thing, I think, for the carpool karaoke, where they like stopped traffic to J-Lo's Let's Get Loud. And he was like thrusting in like the mouse suit.
I really liked the movie. Yeah.
Did you see the movie?
I did.
Oh, yeah. So what would you grade it? If you were a film critic, what would you give it?
Maybe like a 6 or so, I think.
6 out of 10.
Yeah. In my mind, like, I was hoping it would be something like the Brandy version was, excuse me. And so, like, and it wasn't very much that. And so I did enjoy certain music, and I did like certain, the twist they did on the stepsisters and the stepmom. Mm. I really love that. And I think that was really the only main highlight that and I love that the fairy godmother was, I forgot his name, but
Billy Porter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it was him.
And it was Fab G that turned out to be the fairy, the fabulous godmother or whatever. But he was like, you could call me Fab G or something like that. But yeah, I would agree with you. Would you say a 6 out of 10 is like a C plus if you average it out? Yeah.
I mean, it's like approaching, if you look at math percent wise, that's a 60%. So technically you're approaching a D. But so I would say it's like hovering there. It's like that DC like middle ground where it was enjoyable. The music was well, the acting was well done. There were nice little surprises. But I think for what I was expecting from something with that many names, with it didn't end up being that for me. I think part of it was representation, I think.
Yes.
There was a lot, as much as I wanted there to be, especially with Camila Cabello as the lead and current social, you know, climate. That's one of the things that for me makes Brandy stand up as a 5-star movie. You know
what I mean? Gotcha. Like, yeah. When I thought there was pretty great representation, but now that you're saying it, you're wanting it within the top billing people, like the main characters, because Brandy was like everybody was a different ethnicity and nationality, where with this one, there was a lot of nationalities represented, but it was mostly in the background ensemble dancers, right? It was mainly not, I think the only ones were Billy Porter and Camila Cabello, right? The rest were kind of,
I would be careful with the word nationality, because in Brandy's, I don't know if there are a lot of nationalities.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
The United States, except for like the dad who's English, the king. But in this, I would reverse it. So I think Brandy's had a very good Western racial variety. Ethnic and racial variety. The one with Camila Cabello had a very good national variety with people from different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very much white nationalities, not necessarily more diverse. I think I'm pretty sure Camila Cabello, the fairy godmother, and one of the mice were the only in a main role that was not white, I believe. They're the only three. And then everybody else. And then the queen at the end. But even hers, like, not the main queen, but the queen that gave her the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dresses were the only ones that had any, like, racial diversity. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't know if there's any abilities or like, queerness involved in there, like, that was represented, since that's not something they focused on.
The queerness that they did show, I think, was kind of a caricature of what people think of when they think of the queer character, because Billy Porter was like, yes, future queen, and like was doing a lot of the flouncing things that is Billy Porter. I loved that it was him, but I think having him being so kind of out there, like, kind of really watered down it's what you would think of a straight person would think a gay person should be like. And
I partially disagree with you on that. I do think they did some things that were caricature, but he was also, or do they go by he? I just want to make sure I'm
I don't remember. Yeah. Okay.
I'll go with they for now, then, until I know his pronouns. But, like, they were the fairy godmother. They're literally a fairy. Like, so that one, their role already gave a very interesting, like, lens that we were seeing him through already. Even he hadn't been a queer individual, the fact that he's a man playing someone who has normally always been a female role. So that, for me, we have to, like, think on that. But they look fabulous. Like, I was like, I wish I could pull off an outfit like that. He looked so sick. I loved his outfit and his transformation. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was interesting, like the whole storyline of where the fairy god person Fab G came from and all. It was a nice take. But yeah, I agree with you. I'd give it probably about a C+, because when it was entertaining, it was very entertaining, but those were few and far between, because the little where you insert the script had much to be desired. Like, the writing was meh. But anyways, I don't want to harp on it too much, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. I will add one more thing that I did really like about it is that they try to place in the social normative context of our society set in like medievalish times where women weren't as represented. And so they were doing a very, like, if you want to look at it as a feminist, like, women can stand up and they can cultivate their own environment within a man's world, because obviously you had the queen that her voice wasn't being heard. You had the daughter who had this incredible idea, but she couldn't rule. You had Camila Cabello's character who basically was so she couldn't follow her dreams, that her role was to be a mother, a wife. And then you have obviously the stepmother who had already been hurt by the same journey that Camila Cabello was on. They showed you the reality of the trauma of women who've lived the reality of the patriarchy and how they're affecting women of the modern age, the current age, in being almost forced to live the same thing because of the trauma they've lived, but how they could heal each other by staying strong, overcoming, and then healing the generations before. So I love those. And then obviously you had characters that were more empowered, but they were very far and few. And I love that the prince fell in a role that he didn't come in to play the male hero. He came more as a supporting character to support her and whatever her dreams were. And I love the song where they sang Perfect, because they sang it in love when they were dancing. And then when she said no to him, and then they moved on, and they fixed a lot of things that are like wrong in other movies. So I did appreciate all those things in the movie. I honestly, I think the biggest thing for me was I wish there had been a few more original songs, and then the racial presentation of color was more prevalent in the movie.
Basically, it's just one big long episode of Glee is what I got out of it. Like, if you're going into it thinking that it's going to be the Brandy version or the Rodgers and Hammerstein in any iteration, whether it's Leslie Ann Warren or Julie Andrews, like, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be any Disneyfied either. But I thought it was just one big episode of Glee, because they took modern songs with kind of a sort of different rendition to fit it into the plot line. But yeah, if you're just looking for something that doesn't take much effort to watch and you just need a break from life, this is definitely something to kind of take in. But don't go in with, how about you go in with your expectations neutral? Don't think it's going to be anything amazing, and don't think it's going to be a complete flop, and then see which way it pushes you. Because like I said, at times it was entertaining, but then other times some of the writing was just oof. But anyways, so
dude, I think we'll have Dustin put a little disclaimer in the when he posts the podcast of, like, you know, spoiler alert, like critical analysis of Cinderella from Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but I think it was a good thing for us to kind of talk about. We went off more than I thought we were going to talk about it, but it talks about a lot of the issues that we deal with as being queer people of faith, like the whole social structure and how you're supposed to do this if you're a man, you're supposed to do this if you're a woman, and if you ever try to question it, you're kind of seen as the outsider, or you're going to have a lot of different barriers that you have to break down. So there's a lot of those themes in it as well. And that's a lot of things that we deal with as queer people of faith, which kind of leads us into the topic for this week, which is ministry. It's one of those ones that I couldn't wrap my head around the definition to use the word properly. So I didn't have any lead in for this. But anyway, so we're going to be talking about Doctrine and Covenants, chapters 102 through 105, through the queer perspective of ministry. And Renee, since I'm introducing the topic, that means it must be time for what?
Our weekly Haikulaluyah.
Exactly. And Renee, who would you like to go first? Because I think you went first last time, but I can't remember for sure. So we'll just go back to the...
Let's go with that. Why don't you start us off today?
Okay. So here is my Haikulaluyah on ministry. Being a part of God's ministry means to give like he has given.
Could you say it again for me?
Yeah. Being a part of God's ministry means to give like he has given.
I like it. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm excited to hear yours.
All right, here we go. Ministry. His ministry is stewardship given in faith, power from above.
Oh, I like that. I tried to snap, but I did something to my middle finger. So it's like I woke up and it felt jammed. So I don't know if I like punched the wall in the middle of the night. But that's why you couldn't hear very loud snaps on my side. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just, it hurts for me to snap.
You snap with any other finger?
No.
Like I'm snapping with my other fingers right now.
It just doesn't make the same amount of noise. And that hurts. So I won't continue doing that. But anyways.
Fair enough.
So Renee, as a queer person of faith, when you first hear the word ministry, what first comes to mind?
Okay, I have to tell you, I kind of have to look this one up, because in my brain, I knew what ministry was. Like, I was like, okay, ministry, like a priest, their ministry, them teaching and educating. And then I was like, okay, the ministry of Jesus Christ, like, you know, the legacy kind of left behind as he walked around and taught and everything. That was his ministry. The definition was like pretty low key. It just said the spiritual work or service of any Christian. So basically it was saying anything that anyone who feels like relates to being Christian, or of any faith, really, we use the word ministry, so it's more applicable to Christianity, I think, that deals with spiritual things. And I was like, okay. So as a queer man, anytime I am teaching, like, love is spoken queer, which is a spiritual thing in regards to the queer spirit, that's ministry. It's the idea that you're teaching spiritual concepts through the lens of Christianity, which is kind of what we do as Love Spoken Queer. So I feel like that's kind of what I thought of ministry. Anytime you share your spiritual journey with others.
I kind of had something similar, but I liked your definition of it too. But like, I had the same problem. Like when I said earlier, it was hard for me to wrap around my, because when I was looking through the scriptures, I was like, you know what? Ministry would be a very good topic to kind of look at this through, because I was thinking about it like ministering. Like we have our ministries that we are supposed to minister to, based, instead of home teaching and visiting teaching, we're now ministering. And so I'm like, I'm thinking of that sort of thing. But then I went to look at the definition, and they were like, very like the work that a pope does, the work that a religious leader does. And then it was almost like the ministry, which was like a government sort of entity, kind of like the Ministry of Magic, like in Harry Potter, that sort of thing. So if I had to kind of think about what it means to me as a queer person of faith, it's basically the entities and the responsibilities of the well-being of your fellow children of Christ, that sort of thing. I think everything that's involved, it's kind of like taking some of the keywords from last week sort of thing. We're the watchmen, we're the gatekeepers of the well-being of those like us and not like us. And the work that we do in order to accomplish that is our ministry. And I think that's kind of where I come from as a queer person of faith, thinking of the word ministry is just that. We're supposed to minister as Christ did, and we're supposed to uphold his ministry that he left behind for us to kind of follow. And as I was reading these scriptures, I found that a lot of them were really dry, because like you have your relationship with the Doctrine and Covenants is a lot of rules, and it's a lot of logistical things of like, this is how, like the first chapter 102 is all about how to run a ministry council, or kind of like the council, which is the first presidency, and then the Quorum of the 12, and then what eventually became the Quorum of the 70. And it just was like a step-by-step minutes of their meeting, which I thought was really dry. I had to read it twice. And then I had to look at the revelation in context, which kind of put it more into perspective for me. I'm like, okay, I can get this. Like what they're trying to do is they're trying to set up a system to fight for the well-being of their members. But then at the same time, I was looking at it, and it's, and I don't know if this is what they still do today. I'll have to go look at like the handbook of instructions or whatever to see if this is still the format they follow. But it seemed kind of weird to me that people would be randomly chosen to act on the behalf of the accused or the accuser sort of thing. Like it wasn't, like I could see how that would work in a highly diverse sort of setting where everyone kind of has varying ideas, and it's really, you have more of a chance of getting someone on your side with that random draw. But I'm thinking of like what happens in like small communities, or even back then where there was just a very homogeneous, I'm not sure if I use that word right, way of thinking, a way of living sort of thing.
Well, as you were saying that, it's funny, I read those verses, but my thoughts didn't go in that direction. I was like, because I did think, okay, so that's fair. Like if you, in my mind, it was like, okay, if you have someone arguing against, it's nice that they have someone arguing for, right? Or for that supportive argument. But I didn't think in my mind, would literally, you think I would have jumped to that, because that's literally how I study, like this idea that because of biases, you want the proper representation for a person, someone who represents who they are, right? Mm-hmm. But as you were talking, I explored that idea in my head real quickly. And I was like, were they choosing, is the representation they're talking about only from a spiritual lens and not from a mortal lens of like race, gender, ability, which would be the representation. But if you're talking a spiritual representation, and we're brothers and sisters, and we come from the same God, and so that means our genealogy view is the same. So spiritual representation, you'd be in the correct, right? You would have the right representation. But as I thought that, I thought in my mind, our spiritual journeys are very much influenced by the physical aspects. That's why we're here, for to attain that union of physical and spiritual, right? And so having individuals that don't represent you in the physical, visual sense, it does make it more difficult. And I hadn't thought of that until you brought it up. And in a way, I appreciate that, because I hadn't really seen that. I mean, and at the time, you're right. Like when these were, this is one thing that I sometimes don't understand of Doctrines and Covenants, and sometimes the other scriptures too, but more so Doctrines and Covenants is like, a lot of what is said was very much done for how you said the homogeneous group of the white population, because that was predominantly what the church consisted of, right, at the time, because there was just no rights. There either were no other populations represented, or if they were, they didn't have any rights to be involved in other things. But, you know, and then if we're talking about, in this case, Black people who were slaves or not necessarily had this, and if they weren't slaves, they didn't have the same equal rights as the saints did at the time, even if the saints were being persecuted. That is not on the same spectrum. So I just, your comments were very interesting in reflecting to this, as you were saying, like, when you're talking about who's representing you, do you have actual representation, or are they only focusing on the spiritual one? And if they are just focusing on the spiritual, is that still the correct way? And if it is, why are we putting so much basis on sections given when the church was predominantly white and they didn't have the diversity of nationality? Well, I guess it did have nationality diversity back then already, because people had immigrated. So yeah, so it really makes it interesting. And I know that we try as a church to take things that have been given and try to apply them to our modern day. But through what you were saying, that makes it kind of difficult, because like some principles you could, but this idea of defense, and like you said, we don't even know if they do it, if it's done anymore. Like I'm trying to remember and I don't know. So not granted, but your points are just very interesting to me. So I feel like my brain wanted to like explore that with you a little bit more.
Yeah, no, thank you. Because the reason why I brought it up is because they chose lots, and basically the even numbers were the ones that like represented this person. The odd numbers represent this other person, and they spoke in the order of which they drew, sort of thing. And I was just like, again, I'm not sure if they still do this. And listeners, I'll do some research after this episode and come back next week to see if this is still kind of what they do. But if you think about it, like even if they are doing it from a spiritual perspective, a lot of people view the queer experience as not in line with what is spiritually, quote unquote, correct. So if you were to put like a queer person as the accused, say their lifestyle isn't in accordance with the doctrine of the time, so they're brought in front of this council, and you have all these people that already view the queerness as going against God's law, are they really going to fight for you if they already feel like you're going against God's law, even if they were designated to represent you? But that's the thing. But one thing that now came to mind of how we can combat this is if we still do this sort of process in this day and age, is we need to share our stories and share our experiences so that these people who are in charge of the ministry of our ministeringness, I said that wrong, but like the people who are in charge of ministering to us in positions like this, they have a full understanding of our experience, or at least a somewhat full understanding of our experience. So that way they can go to bat for us with 100% spirituality behind us. But if you go into a room where everyone has very narrow idea of what the queer experience is, you're going to run into these things where it's almost kind of like a biased jury sort of thing. And it's one of those interesting things that I thought as I was rereading it, and I still may have read it wrong again, but still, I think what we can do to combat that sort of prejudice from happening and for the ministry to be truly for all people is to make sure that we continue sharing our story so that more and more people, especially in rural areas or the places that don't have much exposure to openly queer people, because as we know now, there's like queer people everywhere. It's just whether or not they're open or not, or whether or not they allow the people around them to know exactly who they are as a person. But I think one way to combat that and to make the ministry for the people on a more equal ground is to share our stories. So that's just kind of my thoughts on chapter 102. The rest of the chapters were kind of back and forth between kind of logistical things and sort of like the aftermath of the people being chased out of, what is it, Jackson, Missouri, for them losing their land. And I thought it was really interesting, kind of God's way of kind of resolving what happened, because the saints and Joseph Smith asked God, they're like, when are we going to be vindicated? Or when are we going to get our land back? When are you going to come and give the people of Jackson what they deserve, and the people who took it away from us, what's coming to them? When's that going to happen? And rather than saying, here I come, God's like, you know what? I think we need to put a pause on things, because this really exposed a lot of the things that you were lacking as saints, because you didn't follow a lot of what I said when I said it. And so that's partly what happens when you don't listen. And then he goes, this obviously is showing me that you aren't ready to fully receive Zion right now. So how about we take a step back you stop worrying about Zion and you start ministering to each other to build back up to where I thought you were going. And a lot of that happened with Zion's camp, where I didn't know it was basically kind of like a militia that was like heading to Jackson to kind of help the saints protect them. But then God kind of stepped in and made it so that way it wasn't as deadly as what it could have been. But I thought it was really interesting because I saw a lot of the same things happening now, where the members of the church who are so on the conservative side, they are so focused on building Zion and making sure Zion's only accepting those that are fully in Christ's eyes, perfect, that sort of thing. And a lot of the queer people of faith are caught in the crosshairs and hit by friendly fire, again, using Elder Holland's own words. And a lot of the queer people of faith are kind of saying, God, where are you to kind of step in and do this? And I think God is just saying, I've got you. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. So work on the healing and work on the ministering right now. And I will work on the hearts of those to get to where it needs to go. Because again, like I said, back when the Black members weren't able to hold the priesthood, I always have this theory that if God had said, okay, let the Black members have the priesthood at a time when Earth wasn't ready for that, we would have completely ignored it and said things like, oh, he's a human prophet. Like, he sometimes falls to falls to misgivings and his own biases. A lot of the rhetoric that's being said right now about certain church leaders in regards to like the pandemic and vaccines and stuff, if the world and members aren't ready to hear it, God can't give the revelation because things like this happen, like the people in Jackson, Missouri happen. And so I think the same thing's happening right now, where God wants to give LGBTQ members full representation and full membership in the church. This is the gospel according to Dustin. But a majority of the church isn't ready to hear it right now, and they would strike it down, or they would perceive it as, oh, this is just the bias of the world creeping into our leaders who can sometimes be human. So I think we're seeing some of the same parallels between what's happening with Zion back in the pioneer days and our being acceptance into Zion in modern days for queer individuals.
I wanted to share a quote that goes along with what you said, and it's in Doctrines and Covenants 103, verse 36. And it kind of sums up a lot of what you just said and you started with, and it says, all victory and glory is brought to pass onto you through diligence, faithfulness, and prayer of faith. And I really love that, not just to say the words you said, like that's what a lot of the members were necessarily lacking and they weren't ready, but also as queer members of faith, I feel like victory and glory will come to pass. Like, that is something that I think we can be hopeful for, that as sons and daughters of Heavenly Father, that is something that I feel strongly, and I can bear my testimony that it is something we can expect. What it will look like is the question mark. But I do believe if we have diligence, faithfulness, and prayers of faith, we will see beautiful manifestations take place in this world. But those are harder done than said, right? To be diligent, faithful, and to continue to have faith and send prayers up. But I really love that verse. I think there's been a bit of struggle since we've had, for at least me personally, and I know we've talked about it since President Holland's, Elder Holland's talk a few weeks ago, and I've been trying to navigate it a lot by talking with different people. You know what I mean? Some people are very much in the church, others that feel like they're not so much in the church. And it's just given me a lot of food for thought and reflection and thought. And I think that is a type of diligence that Heavenly Father wants from us. It's not an idea of just settling into what we think is the easy answer, but really being faithful and seeking out answers in prayer and, you know, to really, I don't know, figure things out for ourselves. But so those are my thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. It kind of reminded me of the revelation in context. I believe it was for chapter 103, where they're talking about one individual, his name's Nathan Baldwin, and he was kind of up in Canada and he was out on a mission and he was going about his business, and he had this extreme urge to head west. And he goes, I don't know why I need to head west, but I have this extreme urge to head west. And he did. And it turns out that as he headed west, he ended up meeting up with the people of Zion's camp on their way to kind of help bring aid to the people in Jackson, Missouri. And so he was just like, this is why I need to be here. So he traveled up with them. And then as he he was going, he started realizing that this could turn into an all-out battle. Like there was, it was almost like a militia kind of like mentality where everyone had a rifle and they were going to go up against the angry Missourians who didn't want the members there. And he was really scared. He's like, I don't want to be in a bloodbath. I'm a person of peace, as most Canadians are still to this day. Sorry, no, that's a nice stereotype. But anyways, but he just didn't want to be in this bloody kind of confrontation. And then it turns out that the Lord kind of stepped in and interfered with any of that happening. Like they were across the river from each other. The Missourians was like, you are going to be dead, or there's going to be bloodbath by the time the sun rises. So they were waiting for them to cross the river to kind of get at them. But before either of them were able to cross, a hailstorm came and lightning came and basically overflowed the river and made it so no one could cross. And then basically they both kind of backed down and then they went about their ways. And James Baldwin, someone else. I think he's a very prominent queer author. So I'm sorry, James Baldwin. I mean, Nathan Baldwin, he kind of had his prayers answered. And he's like, this is kind of what I wanted to happen, where other people of the Zion's camp were like, no, we were ready to go to war. We were ready to do what we wanted to do. And I think that's kind of what's happening in the queer Mormon community right now. Is after Elder Holland's talk, there were some people who were like, let's rise up. Let's fight fire with fire. Or then there's other people that are like, love, not musket fire. Then there's other people that were just like, let's heal each other. So there was all these different thoughts on how to go about reclaiming Zion, quote unquote, reclaiming Zion, that I think really mirror what happened here. And I think what God wants us to focus on now is because we had a traumatic event for LGBTQ members. And he's like, there's a lot of work that needs to be done with the straight members, that even if I did grant you what you're asking for, no one's really ready for it, or the percentage of people that need to be ready for it aren't ready for it. So he goes, focus on the healing and I've got you. And I think one of the scriptures that jumped out at me that really highlights that is in Doctrine and Covenants 104, verse 15. It says, and it is my purpose to provide for my saints, for all things are mine. And I said, as a queer person of faith, I know being a part of God's ministry means to be invested in the well-being of all of God's children. I know how it feels to be denied. So if I have the means, I should be the first to give. For if it's God's purpose to provide for all his saints, it should be my purpose as well. And this doesn't mean monetary means. It means kind of like spiritual means. It means there for them, kind of comfort, like ways of us all healing. And that's how we're going to get through it, because God is like, I'm going to take care of things. It's my goal to provide for all the saints, because I own everything. Opulence. I own everything. But anyways, that's what he's coming at, is like, I can give, I can take, I can do whatever I want. But in order for me to give, I need you guys to kind of learn your lessons. And in order for you to do that, you need to see each other as equals. How do you do that? By ministering to one another and giving up what I have given to you. Because in the end of the day, everything that we have isn't ours to begin with. It's God's. He can give, he can take. And he wants us to learn about ministry through his sort of representation, his sort of example as well. So that's what I got out of that scripture, is that's what our focus should be on right now, is what do our fellow human beings need? Not necessarily just focus on queer people of faith, but anybody who find themselves on the margin or anybody who finds themselves in need, we need to come to their aid and start living like Zion before we are going to be given Zion. And I think these last few chapters, that's really being honed in on by God and Christ. They're saying, like, we gave you a chance to live as a Zion people. Obviously, you can't handle it at this point in time. So don't even focus on the end goal of Zion right now. You need to live as if you're in Zion. And then when I find you're ready, I'll present that to you. We need to not so focus on the finish line, but we need to focus on our actions getting to that finish line.
I actually fully agree with that. Not that I disagree with you on other things, but like these chapters were kind of, like you said, a little bit dry. So they're a little bit harder to follow in the sense of like everything that was just governance wise, and then moved on to talking about all the everything going on in Missouri and everything. But seeing it from the way you were saying it, like especially sometimes with Doctrines and Covenants, I struggle with being able to see how we can take what that lesson is trying to teach us and apply it to things of the now, right? And I feel like the way you just shared, I think that's a beautiful principle to follow. And I actually looked up what principles were, because in the Come Follow Me manual says, what meaningful principles do you find, right? Like to you, or what can you apply to? And For those that don't know, principles are a fundamental truth or a proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior. And I feel like everything you just said literally is that. It's a principle to help us guide where our focus could be so that one day we can build up to be the people that Heavenly Father wants us to be and to be able to show care and love for everybody, not just the individual, but the group, if you will.
Yes, thank you for sharing that, because I just thought of another way that we can equate, or not equate, but find parallels between what we just read in the scriptures and kind of even common recent events is the saints wanted to go to war. A lot of them wanted to go to war to protect their land, to get their land back, to kind of have revenge on the Missourians or whoever that had taken away from them. And God was like, no, that's not the goal anymore. You're not fighting for Zion anymore because I've taken Zion off the table because you obviously can't deal with it right now. And so now you're just going to work as building the church and building it under my name because and being true representations of what Christ is. And I think that kind of is what's happening with the aftermath of Elder Holland's talk at BYU is rather than the queer community going to war with the members of the church that wholeheartedly stand behind his words and think that they're 100% correct, to build peace with one another. And I think that's a lot of what the queer members are starting to do is I saw a lot of like the love, not musket fire, that sort of thing, and just building love and understanding. And I saw a lot of allies stand up and do the same thing. And I think that's what Christ wants us to do. He doesn't want us to have infighting because he didn't want us to have outfighting in the first place. Like back in the Missouri days or the early days of the church, he didn't want the outfighting between the two different groups. And so that means he definitely doesn't want the infighting between his own church members nowadays. And one of the reasons that makes me think that is in Doctrine and Covenants chapter 105, verse 39, it says, "And lift up an ensign of peace and make a proclamation of peace unto the ends of the earth." And I said, one of the greatest acts of ministering as a queer person of faith is the role of peacemaker. I have a unique perspective that can help build bridges instead of walls. So I think God is saying, again, I'm taking Zion off the table. BYU is not Zion. I'm taking that thought process off the table because you guys have some work you need to do about loving your neighbor. And so how about you raise emblems and ensigns of peace right now? And what is more peaceful and what is more hopeful for the LGBTQ community than the pride flag? And I think a lot of people down in BYU and in the queer community did just that. And I loved seeing all the rainbows that happened throughout social media from allies, from all these organizations that help support LGBTQ members and people of faith. Seeing that emblem, that ensign of peace for the queer community is the pride flag. That was so hopeful to see. And I think that's exactly what God is asking the saints to do back then, raise an ensign of peace. And that's what he's asking us to do now, is to raise whatever brings peace to the people that are hurting and to not turn an emblem of peace into something that should be feared or something that should be mocked or something that should be destroyed. And I just, again, that's another parallel that I'm seeing between the saints of old and the saints now. And we need to be really careful of not turning into the mobs of yore and to really be the voice of reason and the peacemakers for the saints now, because we're like, remember your history. Don't ever forget history. Otherwise, you're starting to repeat it. And I think that's what I'm really glad about these chapters, again, is they're honing in on just how similar the early saints are to the queer saints today.
And I think it gives us a good reminder that, like, we should be coming more from a spot of compassion and love and patience and understanding and trying to listen, being open, because there was a whole group, a whole community back in our pioneer history that did not know how to do that. And they attacked and killed and massacred a whole community of saints. And from our conversation of the, you know, the Tulsa massacre, we know that the United States as an overall community is capable of that. And also, if we're not careful in modern day, our own members can fall into prey to that. Instead, we can learn from all of that and not fall prey to that, especially against the queer community, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So again, we can only learn from the past. We shouldn't be ashamed of the past. If we won't be ashamed if we use it to help us project forward in a more peaceful way, in a more inclusive way. So I think even if it's hard to kind of come to terms with, we need to make sure that we don't become the persecutors of the past in the present day. So yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think right now is a good place to take a short break. And welcome back from the break. You're listening to Love is Spoken Queer. And Renee and I have just finished discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 102 through 105 through the queer perspective of ministry. And Renee, based on our discussion today, what do you feel called to do?
Honestly, I feel called to continue to learn how my definition of spirituality may not be of ministry may not be the perfect one, but I feel like in a way, that's what I want to continue doing, being able to figure out a way or means to share my spiritual journey as a queer man with the world. And I've been exploring ideas, and I think that's what I want to continue doing, to be able to raise my voice in sharing the ministry of Heavenly Father from the queer perspective and that journey. How about yourself, Dustin? What are you feeling like you're called to do?
I feel like going back and researching exactly what the Quorum of the 12 or whatever, what exactly the process is nowadays to see if we need to put even more focus on making sure that there's full representation of experiences in those kind of councils. And again, what could help that is talking to our local bishops and stake presidents to make sure that our thoughts and wants and needs and concerns are all heard. So that way, if there are those sort of councils, it can kind of trickle up. So I'm going to go back and research and see exactly how we go about things nowadays. Listeners out there, if you have any insights on that, because I know sometimes we don't have access if we're not in like a place of leadership, like stake presidencies. But I think the transparency on that has gotten better ever since the whole November 15 policy snafu. They've made everything a lot more transparent. So if you have resources that I'm not aware of to kind of look into that, please feel free to share. But that's what I feel like my calling is to really just do my homework on how we can better the processes of the church to be more inclusive of not just LGBTQ perspectives, but every perspective. And listeners, if you would like to contribute any of your thoughts to today's episode, feel free to send them in to lovespokenqueer@gmail.com or find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And as you heard us share Colin's words on wisdom a few episodes ago, we can do the same with your words if you send them in to us, because we're really excited when we get those. So Renee, any last words of wisdom before we say goodbye to our listeners for the week?
Just a reminder, we'd love to hear your voice, so send it on our way. We'd love to broadcast it to all the listeners of the podcast.
And so the last thing we have to do is thank our listeners for listening, and remember to always be true to you.
And love one another.
Until next time, bye!
Ciao.
You've just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.